to the book of James chapter 1. So if you're here this morning, you're in the right place at the right time. Praise God. James chapter 1. Excited about today's message. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we're just so thankful for the Word. Lord, this is the highlight of our week right here. Father, it's good to worship You, and we want to let You know we love You, and it's good to fellowship with one another. But Father, gathering around Your Word, this is where we get our change. This is where we get our help. This is where we get our direction. This is where we get our answers. And Father, there's so many different people here that have different needs and different questions and different circumstances in their life. But Father, I'm so thankful that You know all that. And Father, You know what needs to be said this morning to hit bullseyes in every single person's heart that is here. Father, bless them for coming out this morning to hear the Word of God. Say something through me that's going to strike a chord with them, Father, that's pertinent to their lives and exactly what they need to hear. And Father, I thank You that when that happens, Lord, that will be a sign unto them that You love them. Because, Lord, I don't know everybody personally even, and I don't know what everybody's going through, even the people that I do know really well. I don't know everything, Father, but You do. So, Father, we thank You for help this morning. Thank You for change. Thank You for utterance from the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, James chapter 1, verse 22, I'm going to do a fast review and get back right into where we left off last week. It says, "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth or seeth or looks at himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty," now it's likening the word to a reflection, "and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And we told you last week that the word is like a mirror. The Bible tells us that here, that we want to look into the mirror and not forget what it says. Not only about who God is and the plans that God has, but what God has said about your life. You know, God looks at you differently than you see yourself. God sees the absolute best of you. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's already been to your future and back. He sees you individually in His perfect will, thriving and being victorious the most you can be in life. And He calls you some of those things in the Word. And at times our circumstances and different things might not line up to that, but the Bible's telling us that we need to look into the Word and not forget what it says about us. Like it's a mirror. And I won't go into all the detail I did last week, but remember that story I told you? I was in 5th, 6th, or 7th grade, one of those, and I was entertaining those three girls down at the playground, thinking I was just hitting a home run with them, you know, and thought, wow, this is great. Three to choose from, only one of me. I got it made, and they were laughing and giggling at me, and I thought, my goodness, what a charmer I am. Went home, thought I hung the moon, right? Thought, oh, who's gonna slide me a note in class tomorrow? Who's gonna call me? Who's gonna want to go to the dance with me? Well, I went to the bathroom, went to wash my hands, and looked in the mirror, and I found out why they were giggling. Found out why they were laughing. I had big blotches of crusty Oreo cookie in the corners of each of my side of my mouth, right? And it was there before I went to the playground. I had had cookies before, so I knew that's what they were seeing. And as much as I wanted to argue with that mirror, as much as I was hoping that that mirror was not, oh, Lord Jesus, tell me they didn't see that, I saw my reflection, and I had to just be okay. I had to come to terms with whatever the mirror said. That's what it is. That's what happened. And so many people, God has called you things in His Word or His mirror, and is asking you to believe His Word over top of what you can see, over top of what you can feel in your circumstances. And so many people argue with the Word. They argue with the Word. God calls them one thing. They say, oh Lord, that just can't be. My checkbook says this. Oh Lord, it can't be. The doctor's report says this. Oh Lord, my circumstances or the job or the economy or what they're saying on the news says this. So many people put more faith in what they can see rather than what the Word has said. And that's not the way to do it. Amen? The example we have is Abraham. Again, this is just real fast review. Abraham was 75 years old. The Lord appeared to him and said, you're going to be a dad. Well, Abraham had a tough time believing that, didn't he? Not many 75-year-olds are having babies, right? We see that Abraham went so far as he had wrong relations with his servant Hagar, and they had the child Ishmael. The Lord said, I wasn't pleased with that. That's not the son I was talking to. He was saying, you and Sarah, your wife, are going to have a baby. And You know, and we see Sarah and Abraham laughing at God. We see God going so far from changing his name from Abram to Abraham, which means in the Hebrew, father of many nations. And the Lord said, I'm changing your name from Abram to Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made you. Not a father of many nations you're going to be. He said, a father of many nations I've made you right now. What am I trying to tell you? God saw something in Abraham that was not manifested in the natural. God called Abraham something that his potential could be, and God expected Abraham to believe it before it ever manifested. God basically said to Abraham, you are a dad at 99 years old with no son around. You're getting grayer, you're getting more wrinkles, you're getting older, but you are a dad, Abraham, because the Bible says God calls those things which be not as though they were. That's how he does things. And the quicker you can accept how he does things and start lining your life up with what he does, the quicker things will turn around for you. Stop arguing with how he does it. When pastor brings up about the tithes and offerings, don't argue with that. Just be a doer of the word. When pastor tells you about what the word says about walking in love towards people, don't argue with it. Just do it. When the Bible says your faith is hindered because you won't forgive, and the Bible says to forgive everybody for anything that they've done to you, don't hold on to that thing. I mean, I know we've been through some things. I know people have had people just do nasty and awful things to him that maybe even beyond what you might want to say out loud, but the word says your faith will be hindered if you don't forgive. And so when you hear that word, don't question it. Just do it. Praise God. Just do the word of God. He said, Abraham, you're a dad. And we know that Abraham finally got in faith because in Romans 4 it says he staggered not at the promise of God but was fully persuaded that what God said. So finally Abraham got the revelation. I'm a dad right now. I'm not a dad when it's going to show up. I am a daddy right now. Why? Because that's what God said about him. And God has said some things about you in his word that he wants you to grasp hold of and take a hold of, like you're looking in the mirror. Say, okay, that's me. I know this says this out here, and this says that out there, and that says that out there, but this, the word of God, the thing that's the standard in our life, the thing that's the ultimate authority in our life, says one thing, and the quicker you grasp onto that. Notice when Abraham got fully persuaded, the baby came.
Yeah, that's right.
25 years of doubt and unbelief, he finally got persuaded, and what happened? The promise manifested. It's not on God's end, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to say something later today that might just make your head just spin right off its shoulders. We might just have heads rolling down the aisle here and have to have a healing service or something. I'm telling you, let's tell you something that just blow a hole right through religion. But it's not on God's end. It's not on God's end. Stop trying to get God to do something for you. He loves you already. He's willing and ready. I mean, praise God, but we'll get to that anyways. But 3 John 2. 3 John 2, there's only one chapter in 3 John. 3 John 2, praise God. Now, I love this verse because it gives me insight into what my Father wants for me. He says, beloved, now remember, this isn't John's ideas. The Bible says all Scripture has been given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So John got something from the Spirit of God and wrote it down. So this isn't John's thoughts and feelings, these are God's. He says, beloved, I wish. God said, I wish above all things. Well, that's priority. That says that these things are important. He says, I wish above all things that thou, my children, right? That thou mayest, that you, I wish above all things that you mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Well, that gives us a glimpse into what our dad wants for us, right? Now, you might say, wait a minute, is prosperity and health more important than salvation? Well, see, this was already written to people that already were saved. They didn't need to be born again, right? The most important thing that I want for my son and my little 2-year-old in the nursery is I want them to accept Jesus. I want them to walk in the Word with him. More than prosperity, more than health, right? Money can't keep you from hell, right? Physical wellness can't keep you from hell, but being saved sure can get you in right relationship with God. And I want that more than anything, but once he's born again, I don't need to pray for him to be born again anymore. From that point, then yes, I want the two top things that I would want for my children, once they accept Jesus, would be to prosper and to be in health.
Amen.
And that's what your dad says about you. Why? Because he's a good father.
Amen.
He's a good father. Well, we saw last week, we don't have to turn there for time's sake, but 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 says that you're rich. Now, again, we need to qualify that statement because we think rich and we think Donald Trump and Bill Gates. And then when Christians aren't walking in that kind of wealth, all the word's not true. No, there's a balance when it comes to biblical prosperity. There's a ditch that you can get into and talk about money all the time and give people this pie in the sky. You can get in that ditch, or you can get in the ditch where you don't say anything about money at all. But I like to try to stay in the middle of the road. Even when I drive, I think that's best. I don't want to be in the ditch. Praise the Lord. I've been in there before. It's no fun, right? It takes time. It takes money. It messes up your day. No, I want to be right down this, right where I need to be on my side of the road. Hallelujah. We saw in 2 Corinthians 8 9, the Bible calls you rich. Well, that word rich in the Bible means fully supplied, fully funded, for you to be blessed, and then to have enough left over to be a blessing into every good work. See, God wants to take care of you, but He wants His kingdom taken care of as well. We saw in Philippians 4 and verse 19, it says, "My God shall supply all your needs." So the Bible says you have a supply for everything you'd ever need. I'll tell you what, that would qualify as rich. There's nothing that Donald Trump encounters that he can't pay for. A need that rises in his life. Why? He's fully supplied. Well, the Bible says you're fully supplied according to His riches and glory. One translation says on the scale of His wealth. See, if you get your mind off your checkbook and off your job and off your bank account and off your inheritance and what you have saved up in your sock drawer and get your eyes on the kingdom and your faith in the kingdom, you realize, well, I got a full supply according to His riches and glory. Say, well, where's the money? Well, if there's no need, don't worry about it. When the need shows up, the money will come. Well, you got a full supply. Absolutely. That's rich to me. Never having a need, and whenever one rises up, no, that's taken care of, that's called rich to me. That's rich. But, you know, so many people say, no, I'm not rich. I'll be rich when the money comes. Well, that's backwards. That's like Abraham saying, no, Lord, I believe you that I'm a daddy when the baby comes. No, God says, no, I'm calling you a dad right now. You have to believe me right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's calling you rich right now. Well, Pastor, I don't know. My bank account and my job says this. You got it backwards. You're going to keep going without in life. I'm not rich because I have money. I'm rich because I'm a Christian. It's like that minister that was talking to a Jewish man. And the minister asked the Jewish man, this is a true story, he said, how is it that you're so prosperous? The Jewish guy looked, he said, I don't know what you mean. And he asked me, he said, how is it that you're so prosperous? You and the Jewish people, how is it you're so prosperous? He said, I don't get what you're talking about. And the third time he says, how is it that you are so prosperous? You have so much supply, so much increase. And the guy finally said, you're coming at it all wrong. He said, you're trying to separate prosperity from being a Jewish person. He said, because I'm a Jew, I'm also prosperous. Because I'm prosperous, I'm also Jewish, is what he said to the guy. He said, you can't separate them. And it's just like Christianity. When you were born into the kingdom, you became rich. Yeah. In God's sight, you became rich. See, I'm not rich when the money comes. I'm already rich because of Jesus. Amen. Absolutely. And people have it backwards. Well, I'll be rich when the money shows up. No. No, the money comes to me because I am rich. I'm not rich when the money comes. The money comes to me because I am rich. Because I do demand a full supply because I'm His son. Yeah. You're His daughter. Do you think Donald Trump's kids worry when things come up? Why? No, they know who their daddy is. Right. It would be backwards to see Donald Trump's kids on the side of the street begging for money. Why? Because of their dad. Yeah. Right. Same with a Christian. You have the father who paves the streets that your nasty, dirty, calloused, grubby, gross feet will walk on in gold. That's what He does for His streets in heaven. He says, what you walk on is the finest gold that's ever been made. Glory to God. He's got a supply for you. Amen? So prosper and be in health. Now I'm going to go on to the next thing. Be in health. And we're going to look at what the Word says about your body. Because so many people are looking ahead to healing, and you should be looking backwards to your healing. What do I mean? They're looking, I'll call myself healed when the symptoms in my body and the doctor's report and what they're saying goes away. That's when I'll call myself healed. And God said, that's backwards. Again, that's like Abraham saying, I believe I'm a dad when Isaac shows up. No, Abraham, what did God say? You're a dad? The Bible says he was fully persuaded. I'm a dad then. If God says I am, then I guess I am. Finally, he got through with his stinking thinking. For years and years and years and years, he didn't grasp it. And finally, he got said, oh, okay, I need to grab hold of what you're saying, Father. Well, let's see what the Word says about your healing. And you'll find out today why many people go without their healing. They're looking that way, and they ought to be looking that way. That's good. Galatians 3 and verse 13. I'll tell you, we're in for a treat. Glory to God. Galatians 3 and verse 13. Praise the Lord. The Word of God says, Christ... Now, what's that next word? Hath. Or in a more modern translation, you'd say the word has. Is the word, now don't answer this out loud because I don't want you to look silly. Because just answer it in your head. Because some people, you know, just kind of blurt things out. I'm not trying to lead you in any direction. But is the word has past tense, present tense, or future tense? It's past tense. Christ has, that means it's already been done, right?
Yes, sir.
Now look what he has done. Has redeemed us, or rescued us, you could say, from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So the Bible says that Christ hath already done, past tense, redeemed us or rescued us from the curse of the law. You're not waiting to be redeemed. You're not waiting to be rescued from the curse of the law. The curse of the law, you could also say, are the consequences of the law or the effects of the law. You're not waiting for that to happen. The Bible says you have already been redeemed. Well, if we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, it sure would help us to find out what have we been rescued from? What have we been redeemed from? What is this curse of the law business? Well, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we'll show you what that curse of the law, show you what Jesus redeemed you and rescued you from. Hallelujah. Praise God. Blessed be His holy name.
Amen.
He is good and His mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He is a faithful God. Deuteronomy 28. Now, for time's sake, we're not going to read down through all 60-some verses. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I'll tell you, as the reader, I say amen too. But in Deuteronomy 28, this is the law. And in verses 1 through 14, it talks about all the blessings that will come upon the person that's obedient to the law. Deuteronomy 28, and then down through verses through 15, all the way down through, let's see, about 62, it talks about the curses of the law that will happen to the person that's disobedient. Now, if you read down through those curses, there is a lot of curses in there about finances. There is a lot of curses in there about physical problems happening to somebody's body. Now, you might read down through there and say, well, I don't see my condition, or I don't see my symptoms listed on the list. But thank God He took care of that for you in verse 61. He said, also, every sickness, Deuteronomy 28, verse 61, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law. Now, this is why I need to help you and teach you here. Then will the Lord bring upon you until you be destroyed. Well, we know by the Word and by the New Testament that God's not bringing sickness on anybody. That it was their choice, right? Remember when the Lord says, this day, after He's talking about the law, He said, this day I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. He said, I've set before you. If you'll do this, you'll do good. If you won't do this, these things will happen to you. And He says, you choose life. You choose blessings. You see, the wages of sin is death. You know, if I tell my son, hey, Caleb, you don't ride your bike past a certain place in the driveway. If you do, there'd be consequences. And if I tell him, listen, if you do that, you know, there could be bad things that could happen to you. You could get hurt. And then he goes ahead and does that and gets hurt. Well, guess what? That's not me causing my son to be hurt, praise God. And when God said, you do this, you're blessed. You do this, you won't be blessed. When people don't do it, it's not God bringing it on them. Now you say, well, why does the Lord say that? Well, you have to remember something. All the light we receive comes from the New Testament. You never interpret the Old Testament, or you never interpret the New Testament by the Old Testament. You always interpret the Old Testament by the New Testament. Why? The New Testament is light. The Bible says the Old Testament's written in types and shadows. There's a mystery there. There's darkness there. We're talking about authors that wrote this and the only knowledge they have, which was not an infilling of the Holy Ghost. They did not have the light of the Word in with Jesus. Because we know what the New Testament says. That Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, if God ever was doling out sickness from heaven to people, He would be partnering with a thief, and He's not no thief. He's not no stealer, and He's not no destroyer. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. There's consequences for stepping into the devil's kingdom. So I know it says that, but the Bible says a lot of things that you got to translate and work out. We're talking about humans that wrote this thing, And you always interpret the Old Testament with the New Testament. Well, either God's a different God than the Old Testament, or he's the same God and we got to interpret some things right. Because the Bible says he hasn't come to destroy men's lives. You look at the flood. The only reason the flood came is because people were sinful. You look at Sodom and Gomorrah. The only reason that happened is not because God wanted to destroy people, but because sin caused judgment to fall. Absolutely. You know, if I start living wrong, and then things start happening to me, that's not God doing that. That's me stepping over into the devil's kingdom and becoming the devil's prey. But anyways, the point I wanted to bring out says, every sickness and every plague. So the curse of the law, one of the curses of the law was sickness and disease. Well, Galatians 3 says that Christ hath, past tense, redeemed you or rescued you from the curse of the law, being sickness. You've been redeemed and rescued from every sort of sickness that could ever be on planet Earth by Christ dying on the cross. Absolutely. Let's go forward and I'll show it to you even more. Hallelujah. But remember, hath redeemed. And it would do you good to go down through there and read all those curses, to read all those blessings. Because all the blessings, you can have those blessings plus more. Because the Bible said you've been found on a new covenant with better promises. That means anything they had in the Old Testament, you can have and more. Hebrews 8:6 tells us, a new covenant established upon better promises. Well, if I tell you we moved into a new house that's better than my old one, you can't expect to go to the old one and say, what's he talking about? The old one's better than the new one. No, if I say it's better, you know it's better. Glory to God. That means it's got better features, got better things for us, better provision, better space, whatever. Well, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Every sickness, every disease been redeemed from. Glory to God. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Oh, I cannot wait to say what I'm supposed to say today. Oh, boy. But it's going to help you. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Now remember, the Bible says Christ hath redeemed us. How? Being made a curse for us, for curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. So the redemption took place when Jesus hung on the tree. That's where the redemption or the rescuing came from. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Is now, every scholar, doesn't matter what denomination they're from, would talk about Isaiah talking. Isaiah was the messianic prophet. What that meant is Isaiah prophesied a lot about what Jesus was going to do. He saw into the future spiritually and saw these things. So Isaiah 53 is talking about Jesus Christ. It says, surely he, Jesus, has borne or taken upon himself, remember Christ hath redeemed us, being made a curse for us. What was one of the curses? Sickness. Jesus was made sickness for you. And I'm going to explain that and show you something in the Word that will give you chills, that will make you love your Jesus about a million times more, but will bring across the point that he took it away for you. Isaiah 53:4 says, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, I'm going to prove this verse in the New Testament, just in case you don't believe the... Because when I get scholarly, sometimes that's a stretch, right? I mean, I know. We're really trying to really feed you a line here, but this isn't anything that you can't do yourself. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. If you look up the word... griefs and sorrows in the Hebrew. How do you do that? You just get a Hebrew and Greek concordance. You look up that verse and you look up what the word, the number is for the word griefs and sorrows. You flip to the back in the Hebrew section and it'll tell you what those words mean and what they meant, what that word was in the Hebrew. Everywhere else in the Bible where these Hebrew words, griefs and sorrows, were used, they were not translated griefs and sorrows. They were translated sickness and pain. Now again, if you don't want to buy that part of it, that the Hebrew and Greek, I'm going to show you in the New Testament, when a New Testament person referenced this verse, and he didn't call it griefs and sorrows. He called it sickness and pains and diseases. But anyways, let's go on. I'll show you that in a second. It says, surely he has borne our sickness and carried our pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are. Everybody say are. That doesn't mean gonna be. That means you are right now. We are healed. Well, where did he bear those sickness and pains? He didn't bear them on the earth. He bore them on the cross, praise God, 2,000 years ago. Now, again, I'm going to show you that verse here in a second. But the important thing to see is that the Bible says, by His stripes, we are healed. So Jesus says, the Word says, we are healed. But Pastor Mike, you don't know what the doctor's saying. You don't know what body's feeling. That's like Abraham.
Yeah.
Saying, God, you're saying I'm a daddy, but you don't know my wife's womb is dead. She's 90.
Right.
We're not getting any younger. We're not getting any more spry on our feet here, Lord. There's no way I'm a daddy. And finally, He got it, and then the promise came. God says you're healed right now. I'm going to drive this point home even further. And see, when you grasp that, then your healing will come. You're looking to the day when you're healed to call yourself healed. No. In God's eyes, you're the healed of the Lord right now. We are healed. We are healed. We are healed. Now again, two things. You might say, oh, I don't know. Religion might be kicking up right now and stirring up. You know, sometimes you, swimming pool has sand or dirt on the bottom of it, you know, and you jump in and poof, stirs it all up. We just jumped into the religious swimming pool and just stirred up a whole bunch of devils. So we need to teach that and make sure people are aware of some things. You might say, yeah, that healing is talking about spiritual healing. And a lot of Christians will say, oh, I believe it, I'm spiritually healed. But see, that's wrong. That's ignorance gone to seed. By God, it is. You're never healed spiritually. God did not put a Band-Aid over your spirit. No, the Bible says you've been made brand new. Not bandaged up. He took him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God, right? And then it goes on to say, for we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away, behold, all things are new. He took the old man and removed it and made you brand new. He didn't bandage you up. You never were healed spiritually. You were made brand new spiritually. That can't be talking about being healed spiritually. Can't be, because you never were. You were made brand new spiritually. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So anyways, I don't know, Pastor, that says sorrows and grief. Well, go with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17. Now Matthew was a follower of Jesus, no doubt because there was no New Testament, that their word was the Old Testament. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17. Remember, Isaiah saw in the Spirit, he said, surely he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Now, why on earth the translators? See, even back then, the translators of the Hebrew and Greek had a hard time swallowing this. See, they couldn't accept the fact that sickness and disease were part of the healing, right? Now, why does Psalms 101 in verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. See, it separates the spiritual, healing your iniquities, healing your diseases. Praise God. Forgives all your iniquities. Not heals all your iniquities. Forgives all your iniquities. Blots them out. Matthew 8 and verse 17. Let me get there if I ever can get there and stop yapping. Matthew 8 and verse 17 says, well, actually, you got to go back to verse 16 to get the context. It says, when evening had come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick. He's a healer, folks. If He was healing back then, He's got to be a healer now. Why? Because the Word says yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is the same. Now, churches have kicked Him out, don't want anything to do with the healing, don't want anything to do with the move of God, but not here. We're going to have it. We're going to walk into healing. We're going to walk into the Word and everything. But it says that He healed those and healed all that were sick. Now, look what Matthew says in verse 17. Now, Matthew witnessed verse 16 happening. He saw all people being healed in their bodies. And all of a sudden, the light bulb went off in his head. And he says, I remember this. Isaiah, years and years ago, wrote about this. He said in verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, or Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. Nothing about griefs and sorrows. See, when Matthew got the revelation, I've read this somewhere. I remember Isaiah prophesied about this, and he had the words of the Old Testament there because that's what they would study from. And he says, I remember Isaiah wrote that he saw Jesus bearing our infirmities and bearing our sicknesses. That's what this is. So he's referencing Isaiah. So some reason the translators put it in griefs and sorrows, but you look that word up yourself, both those words. They will not translate griefs and sorrows in the Hebrew. Now, I don't have the Hebrew words here for you, but just look them up. You'll see they translate sickness and pains. Physical sickness and pains. So the Bible says he himself took it. Well, I want to prove this out even more to you, because if he takes something, that means you don't have to have it. Amen?
Amen.
If he takes something for you, redeems you and rescues you from something, that means you don't have to deal with it.
Praise God.
That means you don't have to have it anymore. Praise God. You know, if I said, we dug up the lawn a little bit, let's say I had someone come in and remove that with a big piece of equipment, that means I don't have to go out there and do it. I don't have to go out there and shovel it. It's gone. That's not for me to deal with. It was taken away. The only way I have to deal with it is if I jump up on that piece of machinery and shake that guy and say, dump that dirt back down there. I won't deal with that. But if he takes it away, I don't have to deal with it anymore. And see, the problem is you see your sickness on you and you need to see it on the Lord. Why? Because he rescued you. You are healed in God's eyes. I'll tell you, this is where the rubber meets the road when it comes to faith. Believing that you have it before you have it. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it. Not when it shows up, when you pray it, believe you got it.
Praise God.
So I understand it. Not me either, but that's how God does it, so just get used to it.
Amen.
You know, I've used the old example, if I go back there and turn the light switch off, I have no idea why the lights turn on and off. I'm not an electrician, I'm not smart enough to even know why it works. I just know that when I walk into a dark room, you ever get up in the middle of the night, it's pitch black, but you know where your lights are? How many of you have ever walked around in the middle of the night in the pitch black, knowing when your lights are on, gone to turn those lights, and said, you know what, I'm not going to do that because I don't understand how it works. That's dumb. You just flick that thing on because it works. Same way, I don't know why God wants us to believe it now, and why, you know, I know it's a thing of faith and why it works that way, but I don't come to it and say, you know what, Lord's calling me healed now, but the doctor's saying that, I'm having trouble believing God, I don't understand it, so I'm not going to use it. That's dumb.
Yeah.
Just do it God's way.
Amen.
Do it God's way. Finally, Abraham got from being dumb and doing it God's way. Now, then we get Isaiah 52 about Jesus taking your infirmities. You're about ready to, this isn't the big kadoozy here, but this, I don't know, every time I preach this, I get chills. I get chills because I think about Jesus.
Amen.
I don't think we fully understand what he did for us on the cross, but we will today. Isaiah 52 and verse 14. Again, this is the prophet seeing the future and seeing Jesus on the cross. Now remember, it says that in Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, that he bore our sickness and our pains. He bore it in his body. Remember, Galatians 3 says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. How? For cursed is, as written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. When he hung on the tree, he became the curse. Well, one of the curses that he took from you was your sickness and your disease. He bore it, the Bible says. Matthew 8:17 says he himself took our infirmities. So Galatians 3 says that he became a curse for us and redeemed us from it. Isaiah says he bore it in his body. And then Matthew says that he himself took it. Well, I want to show you this in Isaiah 53. See, because the majority of Christianity, and I can speak on this because I came from it, my wife came from it. The majority of Christianity have no problem believing that Jesus saved you from your sins. They'll shout it from the rooftop that Jesus died on the cross. But when it comes to physical healing and prosperity, they have trouble swallowing that. As if prosperity and healing were the greater blessing than the salvation. Why do they swallow that so easy? That was the greatest thing we could have ever walked into. Way better than healing. Way better than anything financially. But yet people trip up on it. Why? It's the devil trying to keep people broke. The devil trying to keep people sick. Because let me tell you something. A broke, sick person is not a force for the kingdom of God. They're just not. And if you're a broke, sick person, that's what we're trying to get you out of. Amen?
Yeah.
I've been there. Oh, my God, I've been there. And I'll tell you what, when I was in that position, wasn't doing much for Jesus. Isaiah 52 and verse 14 says, and many were astonished at thee. His visage, now get this, that's his appearance, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to read it in three other translations to bring this out. His appearance was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Now listen to what that verse says in the Amplified. It's talking about Isaiah seeing Jesus on the cross. It says that his appearance was marred more than any man. It says, for the servant of God became an object of horror. Many were astonished at him. This is the Amplified. His face and his whole appearance were marred more than any man's, and his form beyond that of the sons of men. But just as many were astonished at him. Listen to what it says in the Message Bible. It says, but he didn't begin that way. At first, everyone was appalled. Get this one. It says that he was marred more than any man, and his appearance more than the sons of man, saying that his appearance didn't even look human anymore. It says he didn't even look human. A ruined face, disfigured past recognition. Listen to what the NIV says about Jesus on the cross. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form beyond human likeness. The Word of God is telling you that your Jesus on the cross didn't even look like a human being anymore. Now, this is what I know about crucifixions. Studying them, watching the History Channel, going back and looking at documents and things. When somebody would hang on the cross, you would still look up there and say, that's a human being. Nails in your hands and in your feet and getting beat before you go on there does not make you look unhuman. It might make you look bad. And you might not look like you're doing very well, but you can still say, oh, that's a human up there. The Bible says people were astonished or horrified at him because they've never seen something like that before in their life. The prophet looked into the future and saw Jesus hanging on the cross, and he saw people just horrified. It's like if you watch a horror film and some of the things, people are just so afraid of what they're seeing and some of the gross things, and that's what your Jesus became. Now, how did that happen? A nail can't do that. The cat of nine tails that he got whipped with before can't do that. Nails in his feet cannot make somebody look unhuman anymore. But you know what can? When every single sickness and disease that's never even been discovered, every flesh-eating bacteria, every bit of cancer, every bit of AIDS, is placed onto one human being at one time, that'll change the body real fast. Things that we have yet to even discover, everything at once placed on your Jesus, that will cause him to look unhuman. He bore your sickness and disease. He took it for you on the cross so you wouldn't have to have it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, is right. My God, we don't understand what he went through on that cross, what he paid for. He became a curse for us, redeeming us. What does the Bible say in Deuteronomy 28:61? Every sickness. Every plague, every bit of cancer, every bit of AIDS, tuberculosis, anything you can think of, flesh-eating, anything that would just was on him at one time. And you know what I know about crucifixion? Sometimes they would take days. And they would break the person's legs because they would push up on the cross that they were crucified on to get more air. And so to actually, as a sign of mercy, they would break their legs so they couldn't push up and they would die quicker. It was actually a mercy killing. Well, Jesus died within hours! He died within hours. Why? Because every sickness, every disease, every curse, every bit of whatever you can think of was placed on him, and it took him out fast. Took him out fast. And the Word tells us he bore it for us. Thank God. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Now this is what I want to say to you this morning. The Bible says that you've been redeemed. The Bible says that you are healed right now. The Bible says that he himself took our infirmities. Now, maybe this won't have the popping, shocking thing that I thought it would, but I'm going to say it anyways. It is unscriptural. What do I mean by that? It is not biblical to ever pray and ask God to heal you. When you do that, you are saying to him, what you did 2,000 years ago was not enough for me. I need more. It is unscriptural to ever ask God to heal anything. You are saying to him, you didn't do enough, Father. I know, that's a heavy statement.
Yeah.
It is unbiblical, Lord, heal me. Wrong. He already did.
Yeah.
What more do you want him to do?
Yeah.
He already took it on the cross.
Right.
He already became an object of horror.
Yeah.
He already became the worst curse that ever. He already became cancer. He already became bone disease. He already became AIDS. He already became it. And when you ask God, Lord, heal me, you're saying, Lord, you didn't do enough, I need more. No, 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 no.
Right.
You're going about it wrong.
Right.
It's unscriptural. See, he's done everything he needs to do.
Amen.
What more would you want him to do for you? What more could he do? He already made Jesus everything that you could ever encounter.
Yes.
Now the responsibility lies on the believer to receive what he's provided. The ball is now in your court. Jesus hung on the cross and said, it is finished. It's over. I'm done. I've done everything I need to do. I redeemed you from poverty. In Galatians 3:13 says, you've been redeemed from the curse. Curse is everyone that hangs on a tree. Verse 14 says, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Well, if you study the blessing of Abraham, it was threefold. It was spiritual, physical, and financial. Yeah, Jesus became poor. Remember the Bible says that you could be rich. He became poor so that you could become rich. When did he become poor? He became poverty on the cross. On the cross, he became the brokest beggar there was so that you wouldn't have to be. He became the worst sickness there ever was. And then your question might be to me, well, then why am I walking in it? Because you haven't received it yet. You haven't learned to cooperate with God. We're still praying these unscriptural prayers like, Lord, if it be thy will, heal me. Why don't you find out what his will is and take it?
Yes, amen. That's good.
You know, I have to wonder when somebody leaves me their will, a family member dies, leaves me a will. Huh, I wonder if it, find out, read the book.
Yeah.
Read the papers and find out what's yours. Amen? It is his will to heal you. It is his will to prosper you. But see, we pray these unscriptural prayers, Lord, if it be thy will, that's garbage. We know his will. We know his will and his word. Lord, heal me. Garbage. Just stand there and twiddle your thumbs and sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star will just have as much effect. What am I trying to do? Get you healed? Stay healed? Say, Pastor, that's harsh. No, that's just the truth. This watered-down garbage religion that has spoon-fed people for years has not got anybody anywhere but desperate and just thinking that God's dead and it doesn't work for them. It works in my life. And the people that do it, it works in their life. They see the power of God. He has not changed. And if anything, it's a better dispensation. Back then, you had to go to Jesus. Now the power is everywhere. Lord told Brother Hagee, he said, there's more than enough power to heal every single sick person in the hospital. Why? Because Jesus is everywhere now. The power is there, but you got to tap into it. Go to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. We are almost done. If you're looking to your healing, you're looking in the wrong direction. You need to look back that you already were healed.
Amen.
I'm going to show you how to receive. Would you like to know how to receive it this morning?
Amen.
Amen. I won't be long on this. I promise you. You're thinking, that doesn't even mean nothing, Pastor. We've been around too long. You've broken so many promises from that pulpit telling us you're going to be done soon. Well, soon is a relative term. Isn't it? It's relative. I mean, come on. Yeah, we're not putting any timelines on it. Now, if I say I'm going to be done in 5 minutes and I'm not, then we might need to beg for some mercy. But Mark 5 and verse 25. I'm going to show you today how to receive your healing real quick. Because you've already been healed. Now you got to tap into it. You ready? Mark 5 and verse 25 says, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, spent all she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked round about to see who that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Be whole of that plague. She's healed. But notice Jesus said, your faith made you whole. And notice this. The Bible said she had to come in the press behind it. Notice Jesus wasn't seeking her out. What am I trying to tell you? God will let you be sick if you want to be sick. God will let you be broke if you want to be broke. If you want to be depressed, God will let it. If you want to be fearful your whole life, God will let it. If you want to be full of worry and anxiety and stress your whole life, God will allow you to live that way. Here Jesus is walking and this woman's chasing him down. He ain't chasing her down. No. He's not chasing us down. He's a gentleman. He'll let you have what you want to have. Absolutely. Here she was and he says, your faith got this job done. What's he saying? The power was available, but you needed to tap into it, lady. So guess what? She could have gone on being sick with Jesus in her midst had she not done what she did this day, because Jesus wasn't going after her. Think about blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by on the highway side begging, crying out, son of David, have mercy on me, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. The Bible says Jesus just kept right on walking. He's not seeking you out. Oh, God is just going to bless me. No, he's not, until you tap into it. It's like saying the oil and the gas is in the earth, and all we're going to be blessed with the oil and the gas. No, we won't, until you tap into it. The power is there. It's available for us, but you got to tap the line into it. Absolutely. You got to drill down and tap into that power. Absolutely. Blind Bartimaeus, he kept going by, and nothing was happening. And they were telling him, shut up, don't trouble the servant, or don't trouble the master. And he said all the louder, son of David, have mercy on me. And he got Jesus' attention. And Jesus stopped and came over to him. And he got healed. And Jesus said the same thing he said to the woman with the issue of blood. Thy faith has made thee whole. He said, it had nothing to do with me. The power is here, but you had to tap into the power. God's healing power is on this earth, folks. We got to tap into it. So how do you get it? Four steps to getting your healing. We're going to do it real quick. Number one, found in verse 27. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Number one, she heard. She heard that there was a healer. You heard today now that God's a healer. That God did it back then, that he bore your sickness and disease. You've heard it, so you've already got step one down.
Yes.
Number two, told you we're going quick. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, the Amplified says she kept saying and saying and saying, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. How does the promise become a reality into someone's life? When you speak it. Confession is made unto the promise, the Bible says. We will have what we say, Mark 11. You will be whipped and defeated, or you will be full of victory the minute you open your mouth. Some people absolutely whip themselves the moment they open their mouth. Oh, what am I going to do? Wrong answer.
That's right.
Oh, there's no cure. Wrong answer.
That's right.
Oh, I'll never be able to pay this. Wrong answer. You're already defeated. Don't go any further. You've lost. Because you'll have what you say, the Bible says. By your words, Matthew 12:37 says, by your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Mark 11:23 says, for there I say to whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He will have what he says. So if you're talking doubt and unbelief, don't expect victory. The second thing she said is, if I touch him, I'm getting it.
Yes.
She heard, which caused her to say something.
Right.
So now you've heard the word on healing. Now you got to say the right thing.
Yes.
Oh, by his stripes I am healed. By his stripes I am healed.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what the doctor's report says. Doesn't matter what my body's saying. By his stripes I am healed. Number two, she said something. Number three, she acted. The Bible says faith without works is dead. Hallelujah. Now, it didn't take your works to get saved, but once you become saved, works are everything. Not to get to be impressive to him, he loves you as much as he does, but to get the promises to work, it's going to depend on what you do. She acted. What did she do? She came in the press behind. Now, see, in those days, if you go back to the Old Testament, which this is Old Testament times, even though it was written in the New Testament, this is still Old Testament times because Jesus had not yet died on the cross. A person that had a blood condition like this woman had was not allowed to go out in public. And if she did, she had to go out and say, unclean, unclean, because if anybody were to touch her, they'd have to go through this whole ceremony, this ritual of washing and cleansing themselves. So she knows this. She's been this way for 12 years. People, no doubt, obviously Jesus came to her town. She was too sick to go anywhere. Obviously people in that area knew who she was, knew what was wrong with her. She was broke, spent all her money. She's obviously ashamed, couldn't go out anywhere without covering up and letting people know I'm unclean, stay away. I mean, how embarrassing. How shameful that must have been. And we know that thousands followed Jesus. Multitudes followed Jesus. And the Bible says she came in the press behind. How easy would it have been for her to just stay home? How easy would it have been for her to say, you know what, my shame and my guilt. Nope. She believed something, and her actions backed up what she believed. She said, if I can just get to him, I have to go through the press, and I'm going through it. I'm no doubt touching people that might know who I am, and they're grossed out, and they're yelling, she's unclean, she's okay. So I don't care. I don't care. I'm getting to my master. It doesn't matter what my family say. It doesn't matter what my friends are saying. It doesn't matter what my checkbook say. It doesn't matter what the doctor's report say. I got to get to Jesus, because he's the healer. Single-minded. She heard, which caused her to say, which caused her to act, because your actions will back up your faith. If you don't have any actions, I question if you're in any faith. What are actions? How you talk, how you walk, your attitude. You might put on a show here and then go home and start grumbling and complaining. That ain't faith.
That's right.
I've seen people facing life-threatening situations. I'm talking tumors on brain, strokes. Look that in the face and say, I'm not moved at all. And healing is mine. I've seen it, and it's come to pass in life. And then I've seen people over the littlest things. I mean, I'm talking about my refrigerator broke down, and you think their whole world was ending.
Right.
Yeah. You can tell by how somebody's walking, talking, and acting if they're in faith. Because if you're in faith, you got a victory shout, you got a smile, you got an expectation of hope. You're not down, you're not grumbling, you're not complaining, because you know the promise is yours.
Amen.
That's your actions. Now, you can go even further than that with other actions. I've seen people that were told they couldn't have babies. They were told medically, you'll never have a baby. They said, we don't believe that. The Word says we can. Right. Paint a nursery up. Paint a nursery up and just start rejoicing and celebrating about that. And the baby came, amen. I've seen people that were told they could never, that their finances said they'll never be able to move out of what they're at, and they'll pack their boxes. They'll have a box set aside ready to go. Why? Just an act of faith.
Sure.
Just an act of faith. My family don't even know where this is because I don't want to tell it, but I'm believing God for a certain thing. And there's something that if anything gets put on that spot, I move it out of there. I say, no, that's reserved for my thing that's going to end up there. Why? That's my act of faith. That's my act of faith. Praise the Lord. I don't know what your act of faith is, but I know at least it's in how you talk and how you carry yourself. Because if you really believe you're healed, it changes how you act. It changes how you talk about that thing. If you really believe you're rich, it changes how you talk. Yeah. Praise God. Okay, I'll say that. Doesn't mean you throw away your brain either. Faith, if you're on medicine, well, I'm healed, I must just throw it away. Well, you better make sure your faith can carry that. Now, I would take that medicine in faith and say, thank you, Father, there's a day I'm not going to have to take this anymore. You're getting into trouble. God didn't give you faith to flush your brain down the toilet. Amen in anything. Praise the Lord. There's wisdom. Hallelujah. The last thing that happened after she heard, said, and acted is found in verse, let's see here. Found in verse 34. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Behold thy plague. She received it. She received it.
Praise God.
She heard, which caused her to say. Her actions backed up what she was saying and believing, and then she received the promise. When it comes to your healing, God might have told, or the doctors might have told you something. Your body might be speaking loud to you and telling you something. But your job is to believe the Word. What? He's redeemed me from this. He bore this. I see that on Jesus. He, by His stripes, I am the healed of the Lord. Father, thank you, I'm healed. And I'm going to close my Bible and tell you just a quick story. A few years back, it was right around the Kentucky Derby time, which is in April. I had been having stomach pains for days. I mean, to the point I couldn't walk. And I was sitting in a service on a Tuesday night, and the Holy Spirit said, get to the emergency room right now. And I left right in the middle of service. I was sitting next to my pastor at a Brother Chris D'Amico service in Jamestown. I walked out of there, I mean, just sweating profusely, went home, looked white as a ghost, so I needed to go to the emergency room. Stupid me, I live in Jamestown, I didn't want to go to WCA, I drove all the way to Warren, Pennsylvania. I walked into the emergency room and collapsed right on the floor. And the doctors came in, they did found out that my appendix had ruptured, but it had been ruptured for 3 days. 3 days, it ruptured on Saturday, and I know when it ruptured because I thought I passed a kidney stone because when it ruptured, the pain went away for a little bit for the relief. And I was on the floor for 3 hours. While she was napping and Caleb were napping and the Kentucky Derby was about to be on, and I was in a fetal position for 3 hours, and then it released. I thought, man, okay, I'm good. But that's when things started to go downhill. The poison started going through my body. You know, people die after hours of appendix rupture. That's dangerous. You know, that's why they call them emergency appendectomies. And the doctors came in and showed me it. They said, this is the worst appendix that we have ever seen in all the years we've been doing this. And they told her and her family, you are, in his terms, lucky. What they say, you are lucky that he's here. They didn't tell me that, but you're lucky he's here. He shouldn't be alive. Well, thank God the power of God kept me. But anyways, emergency appendectomies, you're in and out of the hospital maybe a day, you know, when you get in there and get taken care of. I was in there for 2 weeks. And when I was in there, they said to me that because you waited so long, because all the poison went through your body, you will have some major symptoms for a year that won't go away, and there will be things for the rest of your life that probably won't go away. That's what they said. Well, I'll tell you what, when you're in a bed and you can't move and you're full of pain, and you're hurting, I'll tell you, it's very easy to believe that. I mean, here, these are professionals. They went to school for this. They spent thousands of dollars getting degrees. They can see it on x-rays. I mean, it's there. It's documented. It's like your checkbook. You know it's there. You know it's not there, right? But you have a choice. You can believe, like Abraham did for years, that I'm getting older and grayer. My wife's not getting any younger. You know, our love life's kind of not really sparking at the highest peak here as 90-year-olds, right? I mean, let's just be honest. All these natural things. You can believe what Abraham did. I could believe that. I could believe what my body was telling me, what these doctors were telling me, and all the pain that I felt. Or I could say, wait a minute. Jesus took this for me. The Word says And so I've told it, and I'll tell it again. I got out of that bed with that IV cart when I wasn't supposed to in the middle of the night, and I said, I believe I'm healed, therefore I'm going to act. You know, I'm shocked at people that for the littlest things will stay home from church. This is where the healer is. Now, we get it if you're vomiting and throwing up, and there's reasons not to be here. But I'm surprised. Just the minorest things keep people away. That woman, man, she wasn't going to be kept away and wasn't going to be denied. An act of faith, right? I got out of that bed and grabbed that cart, and I mean, I'm just walking like literally like this at every step. And I said, Lord, I believe your word over this. I know this doesn't seem good. I know this doesn't feel good. But they're saying some things about me, and I want you to know, Father, as an act of my faith. This is what I'm saying out loud. I had my own room. As an act of my faith, I'm carrying that thing around. I said, Lord, I am the healed of God. The power of God's working in me. That same spirit, the Bible says, that raised Jesus from the dead is working in me, quickening my mortal flesh. I will not have symptoms for a year. I will not have symptoms for the rest of my life. I am the healed of the Lord. A healed person does not have these things. And I would do that every single day. And then when I was allowed to get up and walk around, I'd walk around there just mumbling under my breath, I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm the healed of the Lord. And you know what? Within a couple of weeks, every symptom was gone. Every symptom was gone. And you know what was interesting? That things got worse before they got better, didn't they? See, when you grasp a hold of the financial message and the physical, don't be surprised if the devil kicks up some dust to try to back you off of what you learned. I said, oh, that's not good. I was in there, I had another complication, I had to have another emergency surgery. Came home and had symptoms that were just the craziest thing, but every day, Father, I'm healed. I am healed, glory to God. And guess what? It works, praise God. Wasn't asking him to heal me. He already did that. Wasn't begging him to do something. Nothing more he needs to do. He's already done it. When he does something, he finishes it, praise God. You're healed, look back. You've been made rich, look back. And you'll walk into those things when you start saying, I am rich right now, I am healed right now. Because I'm rich, money comes to me. Because I'm healed, the manifestation comes to me. Yeah. Amen. That's how you do it. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. We're blessed to hear it. We're so thankful. Let's just thank him for the word. We thank you for what we got to eat this morning. We fed on some good word. And I don't mean the preaching. I mean the word was good. We bless you, Father. We love you today. We're so grateful, so thankful that Jesus bore all those diseases for us on the cross. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Father. We glorify you, Father. We magnify you, Father. Just worship him this morning. Just begin to worship him. We bless you, Lord. We glorify you. We magnify you. And praise you, Lord. Let's see if there's a song on here, a different one. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Let's just worship him. I'll just go up or down if I need it up. Let's just worship him and thank him for your healing. If it's prosperity, thank him. Thank him for your peace. You can turn it up a little bit, Heather. Let's worship him. Yeah, bring that up. Higher. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Just thank him for it. He's already done it. A little higher if you can. We bless you, Lord. Thank you. Faith rejoices and is thankful. Thank you, Lord, for healing us. For bearing my infirmities on the cross in your body. We worship you and thank you. If it's your poverty, thank him. If it's your peace, thank him for it. Praise you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name. Thank you. Just thank you so much. You're so good. Just praise you. Just magnify your master. Just thank you so much. Thank you for healing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master, so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. you, Lord. Bless you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever you're facing, just thank Him you're healed. If you're broke and you don't have enough money to pay your bills, thank Him for the money. Thank Him that you're rich. If you're going through mental problems and you're full of stress and worry, call yourself peaceful. Call yourself peaceful. Glory to God. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for our healing. Thank you, Lord, for our healing. We're healed today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing us. Not that you're going to do it, but you've already done it. Thank you, Father, for healing me from every sickness. From every sickness and every disease. My Lord Jesus, my Lord Jesus, He took them for me. He took them for me. I thank you, Father, for healing me. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Healing me.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Father.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, we bless you, Lord.
I'm so glad the stripes were laid on the master on that great day. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, you can bring that down. My God. Whew, we're blessed. Oh, thank you, Jesus, so much. Hallelujah. Oh. What you went through, my God. You know, the Bible says that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased God to see Jesus that way because He knew what it would mean for you. He loves you so much, my God. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? You know, we're thankful for salvation and we're thankful for our needs being met, but more importantly, we're thankful for salvation. Ask yourself, if today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? If your answer isn't 100%, I know I'd go. You can. Because it doesn't matter how much or how little you've gone to church. It doesn't matter how good or how bad you've been, how much you've given or how much you haven't. It matters what you do with Jesus. Because the Word says if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. So we're not going to embarrass anybody. We're not going to have anybody come to the front or stand up or say anything on your own. We're just going to ask you with heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. If you want to receive Jesus and know you're going to heaven and know your life's going to turn around and start a new path with Him and have God become your Father where He is going to bless you and take care of you. If that sounds good to you this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody's looking around, would you just lift your hand if you want to receive Jesus? Anybody in here at all wants to receive Jesus this morning? I don't want to rush this. You say, how do I know if that, in your heart something's telling you, raise your hand. We're not going to embarrass you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody want to receive Jesus at all? I don't know everybody personally. That's why we do this. And also, there's people listening by live stream or in the future on archives. Anybody at all want to receive Jesus before we stop? Just lift your hand in the air. We'll tell you to put it right back down. Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands, so I trust that we're all born again. But I also know people are shy at times. And if that's you, if you're a shy one, or maybe you're on live stream, I can't see you right now, and you want to receive Jesus, it's not the raising of the hand that gets you born again. It's the crying out to God. And so we're all going to just cry out to Him. If you know you should have raised your hand, jump in on this prayer. It doesn't matter that you didn't raise your hand. I do that because I like to know who I'm praying for. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to receive Jesus this morning, go ahead and repeat this after me with everybody in the church. Let's lift our voice today and say,
Dear God,
I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins.
I believe that
He rose again from the dead. And I ask You to come into my heart. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that and you didn't raise your hand, that's okay. But please let me know that you prayed it. You can let me know in private. I have something for you I want to bless you with. And God's got a good plan for your life. It's important that you get hooked up in a Bible-teaching church that's teaching you the Word. It doesn't have to be here, but make sure they're teaching the Word somewhere, wherever it is. Amen. Have an awesome rest of the week. And I hope I see you all tonight at 6 o'clock. You are dismissed. Have a blessed week.